Welcome to Impact OC, the only program showcasing the people and organizations shaping Orange County. With your host, Don Camber.
Hello, live from the OC Talk Radio studios at UCI's Beal Applied Innovation Center. I'm OC Talk Radio Public Affairs Director Don Camber with another great guest impacting our community in a positive way. Today, I welcome Verona Court founder and president Arta Karjagin, who is also the co-founder of Parentis Health. Verona Court is a residential care facility in Laguna Hills, providing 24/7 care and all-inclusive lifetime pricing for residents. It's part of Parentis Health, which is a healthcare company based in Laguna Hills that's focused on senior care with home care, home health, hospice, and transportation services. Thank you, Arta, for being on Impact OC.
Thank you, Dawn, for having me and for having a platform to speak about senior care and all the care needs that are challenging for individuals out there.
Arta, I understand you started Verona Court with your husband based on your own experience of caring for elderly parents and wanting to ensure quality care. Please elaborate.
I did. I was a very young adult in my 30s, and I had a parent, my father, who was in his 80s. So typically, we don't find ourselves at the younger age to where we have to think about our parents and care needs and everything that entails. So very early on, I knew that my dad, who was in his 80s, and my mom, who was a bit younger, 15 years younger than him, were going to need care as they aged. And so we started a residential care home or boarding care homes for a personal need, but also then as servicing community and other families.
So explain Verona Court.
So Verona Court is a 6-bed residential care, more commonly known as boarding care. We are a licensed facility. We are licensed by the Department of Social Services to have 6 individuals in a home. And typically, the population that we serve are individuals that are not able to be independent anymore. They have medical needs, physical care needs, or memory issues. And so we have 2 caregivers that live in the home. We have 6 residents, and your ratio of care is 1-3, and that does not exist in larger environments. So we're able to care for more specific needs of each individual as they transition through different stages of care, and we're able to care for them through the end of life.
Now I'm hearing different terminology regarding caring for seniors. There's the boarding care, there's nursing facility, there's assisted facility, and there's living independently. Would you mind giving us definitions of all of those?
Of course. Often people are living at home and maybe they're by themselves or they still have a partner, but it's overwhelming to be living on your own. There are different environments that have independent units plus assisted living units, and so you can get some support. And so that's a good place to transition when you're still able to care for your needs, you're very engaged, you're dynamic, you still want to participate in activities. Those options are good options to be in. If the person's care needs become more, maybe you become fall risk, or maybe you're having memory issues, and you're needing more one-on-one care, more specific care, then the smaller options are more realistic to be in and to explore. Nursing homes, those are, or rehab centers as we know them, or skilled nursing facilities as you know them, those are places where individuals can go after a hospitalization for rehab purposes. It could be as short as 1 week, it could be longer, it depends on what your insurance will allow or Medicare approves if they're seeing progress. So those are not necessarily long-term care options for living, you know, to live. Certainly if individuals don't have funds, they're approved for Medi-Cal, there may be some beds in nursing homes, but nursing homes, as we know them, are rehab centers, basically, for a short transition out of hospital. You need a short, you know, to get physical therapy, occupational therapy. Maybe you have some still some skilled needs, and so nursing home. But for long-term care options, it would be independent living, assisted living, or the smaller residential care or boarding care option.
Once upon a time, the term was convalescent hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what we're talking about, kind of like today? They got rid of that name?
So convalescent hospital, they just have rephrased it. There's a new, you know, it's called skilled nursing or rehab centers. Years ago, I've been a nurse 40 years, registered nurse for 40 years, and so I've seen healthcare changes. It used to be that when you went into a convalescent home or rehab center, you stayed there long enough to get better. It is no longer that. You're there for very short periods of time, and then you have to look at care options if home is not the best option to be in and be safe.
And then the care options would be the independent living or assisted living.
Or smaller residential care home. You certainly can stay in home. You can continue to be home if you're needing partial care and have a caregiver come to you. But when it becomes where you're needing 24-hour care, that becomes more challenging financially.
Explain Parentis Health.
The Parentis Health, so Verona Court started in 2003, and Parentis Health started 6-7 years ago. We, because of our parents' needs and what I see in the community and what our families' needs have been, we felt that everything is so fragmented out there. Families have to navigate and deal with multiple different companies at every stage of a parent's care needs, that we wanted to have a continuity of care model where we could be an option for a family where you can navigate through the same organization or company that has a philosophy of care and a holistic approach as you navigate through different levels of care, which would be home care, home health, hospice, transportation, and residential care.
Explain the life cycle of aging.
Life cycle of aging categorized into 5 different stages. So there's the independent stage where our parents are living their life, they're traveling, they're doing everything they can be, and we're very minimally involved in their life. Then there is the interdependency stage where they've had some care needs, maybe they had a medical issue and you need some kind of care. Then there's the dependent issue where there is some kind of event that has occurred. Then there's a crisis, and then there is end of life. So those are the 5 stages of life. And we, as children of seniors and the sandwich generation, which actually 40s and 50s is the age where most people find themselves, where they're caring for a parent and they're also caring for children, and they have to navigate all these issues. To have conversations with your parent about what care needs are and where they are at in their life cycle is very important and essential.
And how can they have this discussion?
The earlier you can have this discussion, the better, because we are often, as children of seniors, and including me, you have to help your parents make certain decisions. And sometimes you're put in a situation where you haven't had a conversation. There was a medical event. There's some kind of crisis. Something happened, and all of a sudden you have to make decisions. And it's a very difficult decision to make because you don't know what your parents' wishes are. So my advice would be to start having conversations early on. It doesn't have to be a formal conversation. It could be just very informal. If this or that happens, what would you like? What would you like to see? If a parent says, I'd like to live at home, then you have to look at their finances. Is that going to be able to be sustainable? We all want to be at home, but if we don't have finances that can allow us to have care at home and we have to sell the home, those are conversations that need to be had. It's very important to have advanced directives where your wishes and end-of-life wishes are known. And so we often find ourselves having to navigate these issues when there is an event. But it's very important to start having these conversations early on.
What is the average age a person would be in a facility, whether it be assisted living or independent living?
The average age, I would say, 80s, 90s, however, 70s, if there are memory issues. We've had individuals that have been in their 60s. I've had individuals that were 60, have had the stroke or have had early dementia or Alzheimer's. So that age group is not, percent-wise, is not as present, but I would say anywhere between 70s and 90s.
What are some of the misconceptions about these places?
I think people get very concerned about safety issues. However, there's a lot of information where you can do research, you know, everything assisted livings, residential care, boarding cares. They're supervised by the Department of Social Services. They have they come unannounced and they review the facility. Those are all public knowledge, so you can go and review a facility. Ombudsman Services is an advocacy group. They would be a good resource for individuals. And coming to look at the homes to see, I think you always hear maybe the negative and not necessarily the positive, but they're a very, boarding cares are very nurturing environments. They're very home-like, very specific care. You have two caregivers. Ratio, again, is one caregiver to three residents.
Is that for assisted living?
Assisted living, it's a larger community, so your ratios of care are going to be more spread out. But independent living is independent living. If you need assisted living, your ratios could be 1 to 15, 1 to 20. It varies from location to location, but in a boarding care, residential care, we know that it's always 1 to 3 because you are only allowed to have a maximum of 6 residents. And this way, you can see how the care is more personal. The needs of each individual is very different. Some individuals are highly functioning. They just have physical or medical needs, and some have memory issues, and so you have to navigate those issues very specifically. And it's very home-like. Food is prepared on site. We work with dietary restrictions. Medication is dispensed. And the good news is that the pricing with Parentis Health and Verona Court, we have fixed pricing. So as opposed to other environments, you have levels of care and cost of living increases. We guarantee the price when the individual moves in. And that's a big help to families when they're trying to plan financing and longevity of the individual.
Is there a law regarding increasing the prices of these places?
There's no law that says how much you can increase, percent you can increase. You have to disclose if you have increased it. However, the family will have to be given notice of 30 days and 60 days if there's going to be any increases in rating.
When a person's looking for a place, what should they look for?
I think it's very important to know where your parent, who your parent is and what their needs are. So if somebody is very independent, a small residential care or boarding care may not be the appropriate environment. But if they have greater care needs where you need more specific care, then the smaller environment is very important.
So what's the difference between palliative hospice care and palliative non-hospice care?
So hospice care, palliative hospice care is for end of life. It's defined as you have a diagnosis or there has been an event and 6 months or less criteria where you don't want any more aggressive treatment and there is quality of life and there is no curative reasons. So hospice and palliative care, hospice palliative care supports you through that process through an interdisciplinary team that includes a nurse, a physician, a social worker, a volunteer, a chaplain that can come and attend to your needs regularly and daily if it requires. So it supports you through that process and, you know, comfort measures and pain management. Non-hospice palliative care could be, you have a disease process, there's been an event, you're still having treatment for that situation. It gives you emotional and psychological and support, and also for pain management. Palliative non-hospice would be somebody may check on you once a week or once a month. So it's not as frequent as palliative hospice. But it just depends of what your care needs or what your needs are at that time. If you're still, maybe you have an early diagnosis and you're still pursuing a treatment, chemotherapy or whatever treatment you need, but you still need a support of a team that can check in on you.
Can you help us understand what's going through a parent's mind as their child, which is an adult child usually, has to figure out where they should go to help the child understand what the parent is going through, and by the same token, to understand, you know, what the parent is going through?
I think it's very difficult and emotionally draining to be a caregiver of a senior parent. And so it's very important for the individual not to lose sight of what their needs are and to be kind to themselves. Having said that, you know, our parents, as they're aging, are not able to make many decisions in a way that would support them in their condition that they're at. You know, they may have some unrealistic expectations. They may want to stay home when they can't stay home. They're having multiple falls. They're isolated. They may not be eating well. They're just microwaving food. Maybe they're remembering to bathe. Maybe they're not remembering to bathe. Whatever the issues are, I think it's very important for us as children to identify those care, you know, when we start seeing changes, to really look into it a little bit further and start researching what's out there, community resources, and talking to friends and family. I think we don't talk enough or speak enough about aging and senior parents and care needs, but I can guarantee you that if you start talking to your friends, neighbors, even family members, they all have gone through or going through similar things. And they have valuable information if they've gone through it already. They're a good resource. We just don't talk about aging in our society enough to help and know what information is out there.
But in Orange County, there's a lot of aging going on. And I understand we have a large population mm-hmm. of seniors, and a good amount of them will end up in one of these kinds of centers.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I mean, the choices would be you stay at home and have caregivers at home, 24-hour care, or you go to an independent living where you still have some check-ins, depending on what you're looking for. You go to assisted living, or you can go to a residential care home. And so those options, we are fortunate in Orange County that we have these kinds of options. They don't exist in other parts of the United States.
Thank you, Verona Court founder and president, Arda Kardjian, who is also the co-founder of Parentis Health, for being on Impact OC. And I thank everyone for tuning in. I'm OC Talk Radio Public Affairs Director Dawn Camber. Have an impactful day.
You've been listening to Impact OC, the only program showcasing the people and organizations shaping our community. Right here on Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio.